The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Going to go to rugby. We'll talk to Stephen Ferris in just 1 second. The Ireland team has been possible teams have been published in both the Indo and the Times, and there's a slight difference. Hugo Keenan starts at fullback, and then the backline is essentially what you'd expect. Gibson Park, Sexton, James Lowe and Jordan Larmour on the wings, or maybe Keith Earls with Henshaw and Ringrose. And then the pack, the front row, is the same, both of them. Kilcoyne, Kelleher and Furlong start in the front row. Second row of Henderson and James Ryan. Tadhg Byrne starts at six in both teams, Cian Tracy's and Jerry Thornley's. And then at seven, it's Will Connors for Thornley and CJ Stander. At eight, it's Josh van der Fleer and CJ Stander in the back row for Cian Tracy. Stephen Ferris, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Good morning. Not too bad, Ger. How's things?
Yeah, we're excited to see how this team performs this weekend. What's the pressure like in the camp when you're getting it in the neck on all sides and it seems like the whole world is out to get you? What's that actually like for the players this week?
Yeah, it can be tough. And I know the players and the coaching group, they do their press conferences and say that they don't listen to any of the outside media. It can be tough. I think every individual is different. And it's just about how those players cope with the pressure. They're just going to keep on training. They're going to keep on doing their thing. And hopefully when they pitch up at the weekend, they can turn it on. But as we all know, Ger, looking from the outside in, it doesn't all seem to be clicking. The cogs don't all seem to be turning in the same direction. And I think after this match at the weekend, we're gonna know a lot more about this Ireland team and how far they've actually come over the last number of months. And back to your point, if they can deal with the pressure that they're currently under.
The fact that the team isn't clicking at the moment, is it close to clicking? Do they look like they're doing the right thing again and again and it's just not happening for a reason? Or is the underlying process bad?
Yeah, well, you know, just reading through some stuff this morning, actually, from when Mike had come into the system, into the coaching ticket of Ireland and what he was looking for. He talks about nailing your opportunities and, you know, they certainly feel, Andy Farrell and Mike Catt, that they're creating opportunities. But we all know that you don't execute absolutely everything all the time. And that's the big concern at the minute, is that Ireland aren't producing enough entries into the opposition 22. They're not creating enough opportunities. Going forward into the bigger matches, those opportunities are going to become less and less and less. So you can't expect any team to go out and nail, as Mike Catt says, the opportunities that present themselves. It's not going to happen. You're going to nail every single one of those, but it's taken maybe one out of three or one out of four. But currently Ireland are maybe creating three or four a game, and the stats show that, because, you know, Ireland have only scored two tries in two games. They're the lowest offloading team, and people talk about the offload. It's not, Jared, just as simple as running into somebody. I've been chatting about this during the week, running into somebody and just throwing the ball over your head like Nakarawa and hope the offload goes to hand. You've got to actually get beyond the contact. You've got to suck in defenders. You've got to try and shorten that line somehow. And watching Ireland over the last, not just over the last couple of weeks, but over the last, probably since the World Cup, it's very one-dimensional, head down, recycle ball. And I don't think it's a fear of offloading. I don't think it's a fear of making a mistake. I just think there's no execution of footwork pre-contact to get that half yard, to have trail runners. Like, you would have seen Tommy Bow absolutely herring off his wing at five, six, seven times a game, just in case there's an offload on the off chance. So I think there's a number of things that, in my personal opinion, that are certainly adding to the pressure mounting up and why Ireland aren't scoring tries.
The trail runners is really interesting, because you have to be quite brave to run that line, because most often it doesn't actually come off, and it means that there's a potential, if you get turned over, for there to be a defensive hole. Where you've left, essentially, your teammates are going to have to make up for it. And so, I don't know, is that a little bit, the fear is that you're creating opportunity for the opposition if they turn you over and you're going to get the blame for it. Like, where does the absence of trail runners come from? It's not that they can't do it, it's not that they're not fast enough. It's like, you know, we have the players who have who do it for their club. So why aren't they doing it at an international level?
Yeah, I don't think you should be worrying about that, to be honest, Jer. Like, you know, if there's one man there to clear the ruck, he should be able to get the job done. You know, that's the way they should be looking at it. You talk about the trail runners. It all makes it a good bit easier if you actually do use a bit of footwork, or you do get wider and you don't continuously run into brick walls and just put the head down. Another thing is actually identifying weaknesses in the opposition. And that's one thing that I haven't been impressed with Ireland. Something under Joe Smith, you would have recognised his starter plays, certain small intricacies around phase play where they isolated somebody who was a weak defender, or they pinpointed something in the backfield that they went after time after time after time. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that at all. And against the French, where they have lazy defenders, they have individuals who don't tackle very well, and there was no game plan to come up to try and isolate those guys either. So, you know, you're talking about trail runners there. You have these trail runners in circumstances where you isolate a weaker defender, or you isolate two or three of the front row men that are maybe in the midfield after four or five phases beforehand. And then that's where you get your trail runners, because they're going to be stressed a little bit. So it's just more thinking. Is the analysis being done? I believe it is being done. I just don't think they're executing everything right. And Mike Catt says in press conference this week that he feels that they're going in the right direction and they're working on things and he's happy with what's being produced. And maybe it is just taking a little bit more time for everybody to settle in. But as we both know, Jerry, you don't get much more time in international rugby if results don't go your way.
Is there a personnel fix there, Stephen, that would allow the issues that you're talking about to be fixed?
Yeah, well, I think Keelan Doris, certainly in the back row, you know, helps a good bit in terms of ball-carrying ability. Josh van der Fleer, you know, he carries the ball hard and straight, and he usually tears onto the ball at pace. But again, there's not really much deception. Rhys Ruddock, who I think deserves a chance, you know, at international rugby, considering the amount of quality that he's shown in a Leinster jersey. But I think you've just got to have a bit more than that. I think you've got to have that small bit of footwork, that explosive power. And, you know, Caelan Doris has shown that people talk about, oh, yeah, he's a bit more of a ball player. What does that mean? Like, you know, what does a ball player mean? Well, it's probably Caelan Doris and CJ Stander. You know, CJ Stander just gets the ball, trucks it, Here, he's very good at it. He's very, very good at it. But when he takes a step up and the opposition defences get better and better, they negate that so easily. So, yeah, I think personnel, James Ryan has been a bit of a miss as well. He's very good at actually finding space in between defenders instead of running directly at the opposition. And so maybe two or three lads in the pack there that can mix it up. And it's all about winning gain lines. And unfortunately, Ireland we haven't seen those half breaks to get in behind teams. We haven't seen enough entries into the 22. We haven't seen enough of isolating weaknesses in the opposition and taking advantage of that. And, you know, we need to keep building on that. And hopefully they can find ways to break down the opposition. We can only go by what we've watched recently. And, you know, you take it game by game, and the last couple of games haven't been impressive. That's the reality of it. It hasn't been. So all this pressure and hype and media storm that's coming around Andy Farrell and the personal responsibility and the players, the captain, Johnny Sexton, it's all justified to a certain degree because they haven't been producing. And player personnel, I think, would certainly help in a few areas.
It's funny how when Tadhg Furlong was back, Brian O'Driscoll was like, look how much we missed him. When he gets the ball, he takes it into contact and he passes it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, a move doesn't break down, there isn't a ruck, the play continues and we make 20 or 30 metres almost effortlessly. And it seems like it's such a small thing to point out that, you know, obviously Furlong is there primarily for his ability in the scrum, but actually it's the hands, that it's these little things that make a difference. So maybe we get the performance this week and all of a sudden Furlong is back in and never leaves again, and that year out that he's missed with injuries. Do you know, and I have a little bit of sympathy for Andy Farrell. I know in international rugby you're always going to have about one third of your team injured because it's so it's so vicious at the moment and it's so physically violent. It's just that he's been suffering with key players who, James Ryan last week, for example, is he a 3-point difference in that game? Maybe he is, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about what the individual impact would be. If Hugo Keenan straightens up and takes that defender 2 more yards, that's enough room for James Lowe to get over the line and knock it out, and suddenly the game is flipped. If Peter O'Mahony doesn't have a moment of madness against Wales, I think we beat that Wales team, because frankly, I don't think that Wales team are very good. But, like, Andy Farrell sitting 2 losses in, he can't really talk like that, because that sounds like making excuses.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally agree with you, Ger, regarding the Wales game. And it is such fine margins at this level. But the worrying thing in the Wales game was that, you know, they sort of had a bit of a brain fart for, you know, half an hour in that second half, where they couldn't get the grips of the game. And, you know, it wasn't just the Peter O'Mahony red card that lost Ireland the game. You know, it was the kicking the ball out on the full a couple of times, missing touch with penalty. You know, Billy Burns missed a penalty punch as well. You know, there's 5 or 6 things in the second half that start, the alarm bells start to go off. And then when you make those mistakes week in, week out, then, you know, Billy and I know it was all over social media opportunities that, you know, just kicking the ball away and, you know, missing touch and, you know, playing in the right areas, the pitch at the right times. And these things are happening regularly. And that's where the concern is coming from. And also why our attack isn't functioning as everybody was hoping it was going to be, because, you know, if Joe Smith was still in charge, you could understand why we were only offloading 6 times, because he was very vocal in that, you know, he wanted dominance of just retaining the ball and not taking too many risks, being very pragmatic. But that's not the case. You know, the Irish coaching staff have come out and said that they want to play a different style of rugby. And I disagree with you in terms of, you know, the French game only being a couple of points and if Hugo Keenan straightens. I think if James Lowe scores that try and you know, James Ryan's playing and he adds an extra 3 points, that France still win that game. Yeah. It just felt like they had another gear or another couple of gears. And yeah, it wasn't until the last, you know, 15 minutes or so that we started to show a bit more enterprise. And as Dricko was talking about, the softer hands, playing a wide pattern when it's on. And they do have the capabilities to do that. And even watching the Pro 14 at the weekend and watching Munster in the second half, the sub hooker, I was trying to remember his name there, who come on and very, very good with ball in hand, just changing the point of play, whether that's a ball inside, a ball outside, and creating just deception for the opposition was fantastic. And it's amazing how many wee small 4 or 5 yard bust that Munster made in that game and on Saturday night, and that certainly went a long way to for them getting field position and getting on top of the opposition. So yeah, I completely agree with Brian. You know, it's all about having options. And over the last couple of weeks, Ireland have looked like they have very limited options.
What is the story with Billy Burns? What do you think, is he good enough, from what you've seen week in, week out with Ulster, to make it at international level? Have we yet seen what his true level is in an Ireland shirt?
Yeah, like, it's tough. Like, it's tough on him. It hasn't been ideal, has it? I'm under huge criticism after the Welsh game, and you know, Jacob Stockdale dropped the ball over the line against Leinster in a European Cup quarterfinal, and I give him a hard time for that. I think Dricko was on with me as well, and we both give him a hard time for that. And, you know, something similar, you know, there might not have been a try that came from that kick into the corner, but, you know, it was a huge mistake at a crucial time in the match, and he didn't deliver. I think Billy has got all the skills. He definitely has all the skills. He's quite a vocal player by all accounts. He usually manages games very, very well. The only concern that I would say, Ger, is that when it comes to the big games, even in Europe for Ulster, whether that's Toulouse, home and away in the European Cup over the last couple of years, whether that's against Leinster a couple of weeks ago when Johnny Sexton had an absolute howler in the first half, you know, that's when you want to see Billy Burns stamp his authority on the match and go, right, Sexto's down here, I'm going to get on top of him. Now, this is a point for me to prove to the Irish coaching staff that I can step up my game when Johnny's sort of, you know, faltering a little bit. And then Johnny came out in the second half and went, boom, hanging up my game. And Billy didn't at all. If anything, his went the other way a little bit. And that would be concerning for me, that when he comes under pressure in the bigger games, whether that's against Leinster or Toulouse in the European Cups or with Ireland, and the opportunities that he's got, he hasn't delivered, and he's made a few mistakes. And you know, he made a few mistakes in that Welsh game. There were a few negative impacts that had an effect on where Ireland were, especially in the last 15 minutes. So everything is that I've watched over the last couple of years would suggest to me, Jerry, that is an extremely good player when he's not under serious pressure. But when the pressure comes on, he seems to make more mistakes. So that maybe answers your question, that at international level, you're going to come under serious, serious heat. But maybe he needs more time and exposure at that level to see if he can cut those little errors out and maybe kick on. But at the minute, I don't think anybody is up to the level where Johnny Sexton was maybe a year or two ago. And, you know, is Harry Byrne the answer? Ross Byrne, Billy Burns, you know, Jack Carty, you know, young Fitzgerald at Connacht as well. He seems to be forgotten about. So it's a conundrum, isn't it?
Definitely.
Can you actually, what's the best way to play that then, Stephen, if you realise that's going to be one of the big issues for a player, not necessarily just an out half, but any player in the Irish setup? Is it just to throw them into the heat as young as possible and hope they develop into it, or can that actually ruin a player?
Yeah, from a personal point of view, obviously made my international debut at 21, and given a half decent game against the Pacific Islanders, and Luke Fitzgerald and Jamie Heaslip, and you talk about guys given opportunity when they're young. Like Luke Fitzgerald was just out of school at Blackrock, thrown in the last international game at Lansdowne Road, backed out house. Huge pressure on him individually, but he came through it okay. But at the minute, we don't have the luxury of that. We don't have the luxury of, you know, Pacific Islands or Fiji, Samoa, coming for Autumn Internationals. You can mix and match a bit. And that's why I thought the Autumn Nations Cup would have been the perfect time to give more guys opportunity. And you know, Andy Farrell has capped a good few guys, but there hasn't been a consistent run, you know, for two or three games where you see the same faces. It's always just in and out, in and out. It's extremely difficult to do that, especially as you know, guys, when your backs are against the wall here, as Ireland's are, and you're trying to chase a result. And you know, God forbid if Ireland, you know, lost this weekend, all hell would break loose. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, but I believe if you're going to invest in somebody like Billy Burns, as Johnny Sexton's right-hand man, then he's got to have more exposure. He's got to have more game time. If it's not Billy, it's Harry Byrne or Ross, then you got to make sure that they're starting two out of the five games in the Six Nations to give them that chance and exposure at that level.
Quickly, just to finish up, Stephen, just for this weekend's team, Irish Independent, Irish Times have a couple of different teams this morning. Just looking at the Irish Times as it's in front of me, and I think the Irish Independent have this as well. Tadhg Byrne being moved to six is an interesting development. I guess not too many people would have seen it just because of the depth that Ireland have in that back row. Are you excited to see this? Is there a future for Tadhg Byrne at six?
Yeah, potentially, yes. He's played a number of times for the Scarlets over the years, like in the sixth jersey. He's very, very good over the ball, as we've seen in recent months. Brilliant line-out operator. But again, is he a super ball carrier that's going to get you over the gain line? He's just going to... Like, this is the thing, and with Ireland's back five in the scrum, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're lads that don't really make mistakes, but they're not really, they don't give us that go forward and giving us those small 2-3 yard bursts and explosive carries that are getting us across the gain line and making the opposition miss half tackles, and like that's where I would like to see, you know, obviously Caelan Doris come in there, and then you can maybe talk about Coombs. Again, he was very good for Munster at the weekend, but certainly I think Taggart is a huge option there. I like Will Connors more at seven, to be honest. I think his offloading ability, he's very good at Lincoln, and as we were chatting earlier with Jerry there about those trio lines, he always seems to be hovering about. He's not just a chop tackler. So, yeah, the back row is always an interesting one. And, you know, CJ Stander at number eight, I would like to see him put under a bit more pressure as well, because I think when he's under pressure, he seems to perform a lot better. So, yeah, we could have our opinions and argue the house down of what back row is best, but we all know it's not your job or my job to select that, and hopefully Andy Farrell gets it right this weekend.
We're going to win this game by about 20 points at the weekend, aren't we? That's
Gerry, I love your optimism, for sure. I think the spread is 22 points or something like that on the game, so you're probably bang on there. If Ireland don't win this game, Jer, by more than 15 points, I think the pressure is huge once again. Like, it's just going to come right on top of the lads. We should win the game by 20 points or more, but the way Italy are playing, I think Italy were very unfortunate at times against England. A couple of decisions definitely went against them. And they finished the game strong against England. So, yeah, for me, I think we'll win by 22 points.
Right, well, that's what the spread says. They're never wrong. Good stuff. Thanks a million, Stephen. Cheers.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.